Members of the General Committee, I am very pleased once again to welcome this committee to FAO headquarters. I do not think that I need to repeat at length what I have said on former occasions on how much I am impressed by the dynamic spirit of this program. Mr. Chairman, each year you grow stronger, not only in terms of size, but also in the range of your activities and the contributions you are making to the cause of international development. This is now becoming a most important program within the orbit of the United Nations system. I was also interested to note that in true business-like style, your agenda focuses on just two important issues of today: the World Food Conference towards the end of this year and the impact of the United Nations study on multinational corporations on your own future priorities as a program. It is mainly about these issues that I also would like to speak this afternoon. The World Food Conference has been convened by the United Nations General Assembly in response to two specific initiatives, that of the heads of state or governments of non-aligned countries meeting in Algiers at the end of last summer, and that of Dr. Henry Kissinger in his first speech to the General Assembly as the United States Secretary of State. But clearly, these initiatives were themselves prompted, and the United Nations' response to them infused with a heightened sense of urgency by the realization that the world food situation is becoming increasingly serious. And let me say a few words about this. In 1973, for a variety of reasons, notably adverse weather conditions and unusually poor harvests in the previous 2 years, together with exceptionally large purchases of grain by the Soviet Union, the world was already threatened with a food crisis. Reserve wheat stocks were at the lowest level for more than a generation. By the autumn, wheat prices were three times what they had been in the summer of 1972. A crop failure in just one major producing area would have meant real trouble. Fortunately, this did not happen. Efforts to expand production were this time favored by the weather, and generally there were good crops around the world, except in parts of Africa where drought continued to exact its merciless toll. But despite this general rise in production last year, and despite favorable crop prospects in the months immediately ahead, we find ourselves again, for the second year in succession, facing the threat of a worldwide food shortage. Exporters' wheat stocks are now coming down even lower. From the already dangerously low level of about 29 million tons last summer, which is equal to only 4 weeks of the world's annual consumption, they will probably stand at about 21 million by the end of next June, excluding those held in the Soviet Union. Prices have now gone up again to new record levels. So far as rice is concerned, that other main staple food for a large part of humanity, a dangerous situation was averted at the end of last year by a good monsoon in Asia, which made possible a first-rate crop, but only temporarily averted. Consumption continues to increase along with population and incomes, and prices remain very high. Thus, more than ever since the Second World War, the world will be dependent on this year's production for its basic food supplies, bearing in mind the fact that a continuation of recent trends would mean that the reserve stocks of wheat will be gradually approaching vanishing point. And production on the required scale will demand record crops. We have estimated that merely to meet the growth in the world's population in the 1974-75 crop season, wheat production in the world, apart from the Soviet Union, will have to increase by about 15 million tons. That is to say, by about 5%, or twice the increase in 1973, which was already, as I have said, a very good year. Even this would not allow for any replenishment of stocks, which is essential, apart from anything else, for effectively implementing my proposal for minimum world food security through agreed national stockholding policies, a proposal which was endorsed by the FAO conference last November. Whether it will be possible to achieve the kind of increase in production in 74 that I have indicated will depend once again largely on the weather. And that is already uncertain enough. But on top of this critical uncertainty, there is now a new handicap on the chances of increasing production sufficiently, if at all. This is the energy crisis. Higher oil prices are almost certainly going to affect food production in both developed and developing countries, notably since they will involve curtailment in the supply and use of fertilizers, which are, of course, essential to increase production. But as usual, it will be the developing countries which are hardest hit. With their fragile balance of payments, they will be the worst placed to import at higher prices either fertilizers or the raw materials needed for their local production. It has been estimated that in 1974, India, for example, will have to make do with at least about 500,000 tons of fertilizer less than last year, which by itself could account for a drop in grain production of about 5 million tons, which is food for about 25 million people. How are these people going to be fed? For the developing countries, will also be the worst placed to increase imports of food to make up for shortages resulting from the cutback in fertilizers. Such imports would themselves be higher priced if the shortage of fertilizer leads to lower yields in the developed countries. All in all, the world food outlook, particularly for the developing countries, gives ground for considerable, I would say, great anxiety. These discouraging prospects are not yet, of course, reality. It may be that the weather will turn out to be good, perhaps even sufficiently good to make up for the fertilizer problem. It may be that, as on some past occasions, the world will muddle through to relative safety for this year. But even if a full-scale crisis and possibly mass starvation are again avoided in 1974, it is abundantly clear that the general situation year after year has now become so precarious that the world can no longer afford the luxury of just muddling through. It was my conviction on this score that led to my proposal for minimum world food security, which would build stocks up to a level where mankind would no longer be at the mercy of chance, be it the weather, be it sudden shifts of economic strength for its basic supplies of food. It was, I hope and believe, realization of the need to find other lasting and effective solutions that led to the convening of the World Food Conference. I'm sure that the members of this program will be able to make a valuable contribution to the preparation of this conference. It is envisaged that there should be various seminars or symposia ahead of the event, at which interested groups, such as non-governmental organizations or agro-allied industry, can put forward ideas which the conference could draw upon. So far as this program is concerned, there are several obvious subjects on which the ideas of your members will be particularly useful. I am thinking, for example, of the operations of the whole agricultural input industry, with special reference to chemicals, such as fertilizers, of course, pesticides, fungicides for storage, and so forth, and also including farm machinery and tools. There are also questions such as how to build up infrastructure and better distribution systems in the developing countries. Indeed, I think it would be most valuable if you were to examine the whole matter of the feasibility of creating new agro-industrial capacity in those countries. Finally, since trade will be an issue at the conference, it would be helpful if you could come forward with some ideas on how and where industry might best play a part in the process of international agricultural adjustment, which has now been launched by FAO. These are just a few suggestions. No doubt members of the program will have ideas of their own. And I can assure you that we attach a great deal of importance to the views of the program as a whole on the issues involved. In the present world food situation, and in the context of the efforts to deal with it, agro-allied industry has an opportunity as never before to make a contribution by its collective thinking and enterprise to the welfare of vast numbers of impoverished and helpless human beings. I now turn, Mr. Chairman, to the second main item on your agenda, the impact of the United Nations study on multinational corporations on your own future priorities as a program. As to the study itself, I can say little, since the group of eminent persons has not yet completed its work, the result of which I might add in passing, will, one hopes, be worthy of their exalted title. I would, however, like to express my keen appreciation of the successful paper that was prepared by the program for the hearings in Geneva last November, and of the impressive way in which the representatives of the program acquitted themselves on that occasion. In particular, Mr. Chairman, I should like to congratulate you on the speech that should have softened the frown of the most eminent of persons. I think it should also be said that it is very fortunate that this program, whose whole approach is characterized by the idea of high-level dialogue between industry and governments, and which has now grown very considerably from its original conception, should be in existence in FAO at a time when the multinationals are under study by the United Nations. This not only enhances the importance of the program, it also means that the United Nations system itself, through an initiative of one of its principal agencies, is in a position to make a much more direct and solid contribution to the study than would otherwise have been the case. The chief issue arising out of the United Nations study, which concerns this session of your committee, is the question of a possible expansion of the program to sectors beyond agro-allied industries, an issue which I understand was raised at the hearings in Geneva. You will undoubtedly wish to know my views on this. I would start by reaffirming my strong belief in the principle that FAO is the right base within the United Nations system for a program such as this one. The reason has nothing to do with abstract claims of prerogative. It is quite simply that the main basis for industrialization in the developing countries is in connection with agriculture, fisheries, and forestry. Having said this, I believe it would be possible to consider widening the scope of the program, or to put it more exactly, widening the meaning that so far seems to have attached to the term agro-allied industry, in order to cover certain matters with which such industry is already connected in one way or another. I have in mind such things as rural infrastructure, housing, health in rural areas, and catering industries. In practical terms, the effect of this on the program would involve close cooperation with other United Nations agencies, such as the World Health Organization and UNIDO. Such an expansion of the program's field of interest I would support. But I would not go further than something like this. I think it is very necessary to proceed cautiously in this matter and avoid any kind of expansion that would in any way weaken or dilute the central concept of the program, which is concerned with agro-allied industry in the developing countries and nothing else. I would, for example, exclude the idea of extending the fields of interest to such industries as petroleum and mining. It may, I know, sometimes be difficult to draw a precise line between what is a suitable field of interest for the program and what is not. But I think that with the use of common sense, and above all by sticking to the criterion that the program is solely concerned with agro-allied industry in the developing countries, it should be possible to allow it to expand its range somewhat without departing from its true fundamental character and purpose, which I am convinced it is essential to keep intact. These, Mr. Chairman, are the main points that I wish to make today. But before I close, I should like to refer very briefly to the program's current activities. I have been greatly struck by the growing number of your missions and working groups and the range that they cover. I know that many FAO delegates have also been most favorably impressed by this evidence of increased vigorous activity. A number of ministers of agriculture spoke very highly of the program in their main policy statements to the last session of the FAO conference. And to you, Mr. Chairman, I should like to say a special word of thanks as you come to the end of your term of office. I have greatly appreciated your tremendous enthusiasm for the program and the amount of time and effort you have devoted to it despite your other obligations. As retiring chairman, you leave it greatly strengthened and with a growing reputation among those it seeks to help around the world. The program is indeed a remarkable endeavor, which, thanks to the interest and activity of all its members, has already more than justified the early faith in it. There is no doubt, however, that in the very difficult situation in the world, which I described earlier, it will require more support in terms of time, effort, and to a lesser degree, perhaps, finance. I am sure that that support will be forthcoming. For my part, let me reaffirm to you my own fullest support and that of my organization, the FAO. Thank you very much.